My head hurts. What in the world? Where am I?
Kelly groaned as he surveyed the scene around him. He was the first to wake up. He and Mike had both been knocked out on the beach following their dive.
Mike, wake up.
Mike was a few feet away, lying on the floor. He had a bruise with a welt on his head. Kelly was able to kick out at him and jar Mike. With that, his friend started to stir.
Ugh, I hurt all over. Where in the world are we?
He asked, echoing Kelly's question. Both of the men were still in their one-piece wetsuits, although the suits had been pulled down to their waists. Their arms and legs were bound, and they had been dumped on the floor of what appeared to be a warehouse. Their dive equipment lay not far away on the floor.
Kelly, over there, behind you. They got Tanya. How did she get involved in this? And there's my video camera on the table behind her,
Mike groaned.
It was all for nothing. I can't move. How does she look? Is she okay?
Kelly asked.
I don't see any marks on her. She appears to be breathing, but she's out,
Mike replied.
If she's hurt,
Kelly said, and then stopped short.
I know. It'll all work out all right,
Mike said, trying to reassure his friend with confidence he didn't truly feel at the moment. After a moment, Mike started to struggle, trying to get up.
Mike, what are you doing?
Kelly asked.
I want to check out the video camera, make sure it's all right. Maybe I can still do something,
Mike said. By bracing himself against the pole, Mike was able to get himself in a standing position. His head swam when he did it. Bouncing and hopping, he was able to make his way over to the table and the camera. The camera looked fine, although with his hands bound, Mike wasn't able to check it out much. As he was about to turn the camera over, he heard the sound of someone coming into the building. He was able to knock on the record switch on the camera as he did so and push the lens port of the camera in the general direction of where Kelly lay on the floor. He thought to himself that at least he could record whatever happened to them. With a quick look to make sure Tanya appeared to be okay, he could see her breathing. He quickly hopped back over toward his friend and flopped back down on the hard floor. Mike wasn't on the floor 2 seconds before the door opened and Samson walked in with a couple of his thugs. Samson was dressed in dark clothing from head to foot. He was talking on his cell phone.
Yeah, I got the two guys and the girl right here. They aren't going anywhere. Doesn't even look as if they've moved,
he said into the phone with a fleeting glance at Mike and Kelly.
Couple of real tough guys. Are you sure you want to take things that far?
Samson asked after listening to the phone for a moment.
I mean, this raises the undertaking to a whole new level if you want me to take these three out and dispose of the bodies. It'll take some planning as well. It ain't like in the movies where you throw the bodies in the trunk of the car and dump them in a ditch.
The police find bodies all the time that are years old. Fine, he said after another pause.
Yeah, I've done this sort of thing before and I don't have a problem with it. It just raises the stakes a bit and you need to understand that. Here's the deal. I do this and I split. You'll never see me again. I don't wait around for people to get guilty and start talking to the cops. Also, this is going to cost you extra. Put another $50,000 in my numbered Swiss account, he told Walker.
He thought to himself that it was ironic he didn't want to use a Cayman account because he wasn't sure it would be safe from Walker.